My name is Steve, and it's great to be with you. It's great to have my wife, Evie. Maybe I'll kick something else over. I'm not mad. You guys have been walking through the Gospel of Mark, and before we go right back to chapter 4, I just want to say a couple of things about the bigger picture of Mark. Has anyone read through the whole gospel recently? Come on. Yeah, we got a few? Good. I encourage you to keep doing that. Reading through the Gospel of Mark, how long did it take some of you guys? About an hour? Fast readers? If you read it out loud, which I've done in groups every year for the last 20 years, interesting, on the first night of the discipleship program called Trek at the Mark Center, we read the entire Gospel of Mark out loud together, and it's about an hour 25 out loud, but of course you can read it a fair bit faster quietly to yourself. But the bigger picture is beautiful. The main storyline in the Gospel of Mark is about the life of, good, a little louder, Jesus, yeah. That is clearly the thing that it's all about. But the second storyline, which is a very close second, is the life of the group of disciples. Yeah. And so Jesus, the Son of God, is what it's all about. I see Mark 1:1 as a trumpet blast. Bang! The beginning of the Gospel of Mark. The beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No question about his identity there. In his life, there will be many, many questions about his identity. Who is this guy? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Who is this man? Even the demons obey him. But John Mark blasts it off right at the beginning. This is about the good news of the Son of God, Jesus, the Son of God. There is a poem that I just love, and Dennis is going to put it up here pretty soon, I think. You got that handy, Dennis, or someone? Dave? Yeah, this poem I encourage people to look at when they're studying the Gospel of Mark. And we're looking at the first paragraph. It's three very short paragraphs. Follow Jesus around the scriptures. Be an observer. Watch how he looks. Watch how he touches. Watch how he is present to people. Watch how he prays and takes time out. Second paragraph, pretty intimate all of a sudden. Let him, Jesus, look at you. Let him touch you. Let him hold you. Let him heal you. Let him be present to you. And then the outward biblical flow that you find in the Old Testament, New Testament, then become the look, become the touch, become the presence. If you go back to the first paragraph, since I was with you last, and when did you start this focus on the Gospel of Mark? Wasn't it like in February? Anybody? Yeah, some nods. I had the privilege to go back to this place called Hawaii, and I taught 47 Koreans, most of them who did not speak English. They were in their first week of a discipleship training program, and this poem that you're looking at, I thought in the very first minutes of a week of teaching on the theme of listening for God's voice, I thought, why not give them this poem? And so as I gave it to them, I just had the idea that it would be kind of cool with mainly Korean speaking, some English speaking. Let's get you, thank you, Kwan, I named this guy, thank you for volunteering to memorize the poem and present it to us 2 days from now. And he was very quick to, yes, I will do that. And then I walked over here and I saw a married couple, Say and Lydia from Seattle, Korean Americans. And I said, and Lydia, thank you. You will memorize it in English, won't you? And she looked scared like she had seen a ghost or something. So she trembled for a little while and I gave her the option in front of everyone. Hey, you can say no, we can get someone else. But then she said, yes, I will do that. 2 days later, Lydia stood up in front of the class and she presented the first paragraph beautifully. But now go to the second paragraph. And she quoted the first line, and then bang, she broke. And she started to cry, and as soon as she did, I knew, like, this was going to take a while. But I knew that she was strong. And so I said to the class through the translator, let's be gracious, let's be patient, tears are good. And so Lydia cried for a while, and then she came back to, and she quoted the rest of this, and the last paragraph, and then she went like this. She went to go back to her seat, and I asked her a question. I said, Lydia, would you mind sharing with us how you think God has used this poem to touch you? And she smiled, and she said, I told God this morning I would not share with anyone unless someone asked me to. And you just asked me to. So bang, this woman took over the class in a way that I will never forget. She said to us, 2 days ago when I started to memorize this poem, it brought me back to a year ago when I was in the Seattle hospital with my husband, and we had the privilege of listening to a woman's heartbeat, little baby in her tummy heartbeat, before it was our turn for the ultrasound, and then the doctor told me that the baby inside me was dead. And she said, I felt ashamed. I felt abandoned by God, and I started to get angry at God right there in the hospital. I started yelling and swearing at God in the hospital. And she said, 2 days ago, when I started to memorize this poem, God began to speak to me and say to me, Lydia, I was there with you. And I was looking at you, I was touching you, but you didn't let me hold you. You didn't let me heal you. And now I'm coming again, just like that song we sang. God just doesn't stop, does he? So he came again to Lydia, and he started to heal her. And she was so clear, so strong, that people around that class started to cry as she declared that Jesus was healing her. Wow. As a teacher, you just don't need to do a whole lot else in a time like that. And it was the thing, the moment that I will remember from that week of teaching. Jesus came to her, and she opened up her heart and life. And so this poem, you can feel free to keep going back and forth, 1, 2, 3, throughout the message if you like. But wow, Gospel of Mark. Beautiful opportunity for you and me to follow Jesus around, to keep looking, keep watching, keep observing how he touches, how he loves people, how he does this, that, the other thing. But also, as you're doing it, I know that you are opening up your hearts and you're experiencing God at one time or another coming close to you. And as you're doing that, you're also reaching out and you're seeing people with the love of Jesus. We go to Mark 4 again. Last week you had Mark 4, 1 through 9, 10-ish. And here we go. It was Darian telling the parable of the sower. And this week we're looking at the explanation now of the parable. And so Mark 4, 10 through 20, really. Personally, I really liked Darian's message. I listened to that. And this is what I wrote in my journal after I heard it. I think God shared his heart with Coast Hills through Darian. I believe Darian has a heart to be well and to see others healed and healthy. His message reminded us that things can change. Soils can actually change. People can become open and ready to hear God. Amen? And you and I can play a part in that. That was also very encouraging. We can have a role in the changing of other people's soils. As we give God permission to plow, do you remember that phrase? Permission to plow. As we give that to God and open ourselves up, I believe God is healing us, he's changing us, but he's also giving us more and more opportunities to help others open up to God. One thing I heard Darian say that really links with where I'm going this morning is that parables are an invitation to mystery. And so I think he's right. I think parables don't necessarily have all the answers. They don't narrowly or even thoroughly define a subject, but they describe life in the kingdom, especially here in Mark chapter 4, and you're going to hear more about that next week through Paul. They describe the kingdom of God, what it's like in the kingdom. Parables draw us in. What is a parable? Somebody's going to say it in five words. What is a parable? That's a challenge. Say it in eight words then. Anybody. A parable is simply a story with a lesson. That would be five words. Story with a lesson. A story with a lesson. Or a story with a message. So it actually is pretty cool in this case. Parable comes from two Greek words. One is para, which means alongside of. Kind of a technical word. But then balo, I imagine we get our Greek, our English word to throw, because balo means to cast, or sorry, the word ball. Balo in the Greek, to cast or to throw. So I think what's happening when Jesus told a parable is this. He's created his own story, and then he throws it out there into the public, and it's alongside of something else that he's really trying to speak to over here. He's throwing it out there, and it's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward what he's talking about. In this case, it's seeds, and they're landing in different places, challenging soil. But what he's talking about is over here somewhere. And that's what we're going to get to this morning. What is it? Why did he tell this story to help us understand what's over here? So let's dive into, or let's hear. If you got a Bible, I encourage you to open that up. If you don't have a Bible, they're great. You can get them in different colors and sizes, weight. But Mark 4, 1 through 20, I'm going to try to recite it to you, and then we're going to get into this explanation of the parable. As you listen to it, I want you to be aware of some repeated words. Sometimes when you and I study the Bible, we notice that there are words that are repeated, and sometimes they are very key words. In this case, there are three repeated key words that I want to focus in on. And there are certainly more that you could, but I'm going to choose three of them. And you're going to hear them, actually, in most translations, eight times in these 20 verses. So be listening for that, and then also be listening for one phrase that stands alone. It's different than anything else as far as the language of the passage. And I think that phrase, in the end, is going to really help us understand some things. So here we go. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some seed fell among on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It grew, sprang up, and grew and produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short while. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Somebody speak it out. Did you hear a word repeated? Listen. Okay, there we go. Listen was repeated 8 times in certain translations. In the Greek, it's the word akouo, and it could be translated listen or hear. And so 8 times, listen or hear. Hear the word, hear the word. Another is the word. Good. So you're 2 for 2 as far as the words I chose right now. The word, 8 times. And the other one, we go back to the telling of the parable and we see the word seed. Good. So seed, listen, word. Let's start with seed. In the telling of the parable, that's where we are right here, folks. Jesus is talking about, he's throwing out this story, and it's about seeds. And last week, you did some great things pondering that seed landing on different soils. And the opposition, the difficulty that many people, you and I included, have receiving because of some of the condition of our soil. There are 3 things about seeds that we're not going to talk about now, but I want you to just think for a little bit. What do you know about seeds? Don't get complicated on me, but think about seeds. And I love it that we've got some seeds in the back and a cool little thing that you're going to do later if you choose. So let's leave it at that for now. You're thinking with me about 3 things that you know, that your kids know about seeds. We go to the word, and what do we have in that word? If we think about the telling of the parable, throwing it out here, we jump over to here, and now that's where Jesus is using the word in the explanation of the parable. What has become word from here? It was that very word that we just talked about. Over here, it's a seed. Now it's the word. So what is the word? You talked about it a little bit last week. The word is, there's a bunch of right answers here, so don't be afraid. The word is the gospel. The word is Jesus, I heard. And someone else said? The message, yes. What is the word? Say it again. The seed. Yeah, the seed has power. It grows. It is the word of God. Lots of right answers. It is the gospel. It is Jesus. It is the Bible. But it's not only the Bible, right? What I think of sometimes is that paralytic coming down through the roof, 4 friends bringing him there to Jesus in Capernaum. And as he's being lowered down, we are told that Jesus is impressed with their faith, right? When he saw their faith, he said to the man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And I want to ask you, what was that that came out of the mouth of Jesus to that man? It was the word. Could I be right? Son, your sins are forgiven. That sounds like the word. That sounds like the gospel in short. I was wondering about that one day, and I said, wow, this is cool. That guy just heard the word. You go to Mark chapter 5, there's a woman who for 12 long years has been suffering, bleeding. And you imagine her life, 12 years. Think of year 8, 9, 11, all these years. But she does not lose faith. She hears about Jesus. She comes up behind him in the crowd, and she touches his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And Jesus turns around in the crowd, right? Disciples are laughing at him. What do you mean, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you? And Jesus keeps looking around to see who did it, not because he's going to humiliate her, but because he's going to bless her socks off in front of everybody. And what does Jesus say to her? Daughter. Calls her daughter. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. and be freed from your suffering. What did she hear? She heard the word. I think the word of God is amazing. It's better than we think. It's everywhere. The heavens declare the glory of God. What is the word? It is creation all around us. It's crazy. You can't get away from the word. Go to the deeps of Sheol. God is there. He's speaking. So, seed, word. The third one is listen. Listen. If I was one of those scholars who had to choose the headings of every little passage in the Bible, in this case, I would have been voting for the parable about hearing or listening to God. That would have been my choice. I think that word is repeated 8 times to emphasize to us that this is all about listening. And so let's go back now to the seed. What do you know about seeds? First thing all of us know about seeds is that they are usually very small. Seeds are small. Write that down in your brains or on a paper somewhere. Seeds are small. Now, why did we just identify that? If you think about Jesus throwing it out there, parable, right? Para, alongside of. Jesus is trying to inform us on what it is like to hear God. And I think he's saying it's small. When God is talking, it's often very small. Bill Hybels wrote a book called The Power of a Whisper. One little whisper can redirect your whole life. When people have heard God, can you imagine that woman living the rest of her life knowing that Jesus said, daughter, daughter. That paralytic hearing son, living the rest of his life like that. Seeds are small. What else do you know about seeds? Kids know this. When you put seeds into dirt and you water them, the sunshine, seeds do something. They grow. Seeds grow. And when God speaks, it might be small, but it's going to grow. It's going to grow into something so beautiful that people are going to be amazed at the change. And the third thing about seeds is in the telling, it's in the explanation. What do seeds do? They not only grow and become really cool plants and trees and all kinds of things, they multiply. It's mysterious. I love it. When I plant grass seeds, I love it. They just take over. They eliminate those weeds just by having so many of the little grassies coming. It's beautiful. And when people hear God over here, a little whisper that's growing, I have watched it, you guys, in my little life. I've had the privilege to travel around the world. I have watched things multiply. Crazy amazing. I was there in 1998 when this organization that Paul works for started. And it was crazy to hear the vision and then to watch this thing multiply. I don't know any organization that has multiplied as much as Global Disciples. It's crazy. I hope you guys can hear more and more about it over the years. But it's a picture of the kingdom of God, and it's crazy what God can do. When somebody hears, it might just be small, but it grows and others are blessed. When Lydia shared what she did from this little poem with that whole class, I was watching multiplication happen, and people were getting it. That God loves us like crazy. We got to go back, though, now to a phrase. We got to go back to a phrase that stands alone in this set of 20 verses, and it just doesn't really seem like it connects with anything else right off the bat, but it is what? Jesus said something to those guys in a huddle. What did he say? Okay, he said that before the huddle. That's definitely connected. But what did he say when he was alone with the 12, the others around him, and they asked him about the parables? He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. So here's a question for you. What is the secret of the kingdom of God? And again, I'm going to suggest there's lots of right answers, so you probably won't be wrong. The secret of the kingdom of God is someone in this section here, calling you forth. Jesus. Okay, how can you argue with this guy? The secret of the kingdom of God is Jesus. Someone else over here says, yeah, that's true, but it's also the secret of the kingdom is the word. Okay, we like her. We're not going to argue with her. Someone over here says, you're right, but it's also what? What is the secret of the kingdom? Think big here. Don't think just of Mark 4. Secret of the kingdom of God is grace. I love that answer. Nothing wrong with that. This section is saying, hey, you guys are all good, but we've got something even better. The secret of the kingdom of God is love. I was hoping for that word for some reason. Love. God is love. The secret of the kingdom of God, you could say it is many different things, but a few years ago when I was studying in a seminary in California, I was blessed to walk through the Gospel of Mark in Greek with a man who was so humble and so gracious, and he taught us well. And when we came to this passage, he said something to us that I will never forget. He says, the secret of the kingdom is that the kingdom comes secretly. Is Tim right? The secret of the kingdom is that the kingdom comes secretly. Think about Christmas time. Jesus, little baby in a manger. Secretly, surprisingly, the kingdom comes. Think about Jesus on a cross, humiliated. Dark, dark time. Kingdom of God is somehow victorious in that moment? That is bizarre. The secret of the kingdom is that the kingdom comes secretly. Is Tim right? Yeah. If he is right, then what? If he is right, then what? What's on us to learn and grow in? If the secret of the kingdom is that it comes secretly, surprisingly, we better learn how to listen. Because God is going to surprise us. And if Bono was here, I hope you're getting Bono to come one of these times and do a little bass. Bono actually would say something to us about this. He would say, unfortunately, in his life, sometimes he has missed Jesus because Jesus has come to him through the ugly, through the sick, through the weak. And he wishes that he would be more attentive to God's presence. The secret of the kingdom is that it comes secretly, surprisingly. It's mysterious, and it's a good thing. But God wants us to see. He wants us to hear. He wants us to understand, and so he is speaking, and he is speaking generously through many, many different ways. Through creation, through the Word of God, in the circumstances of your life and mine, God is speaking. And it's beautiful. He's bringing life. Two nights ago, I was at a dessert there in Abbotsford, and I heard about a trek team in Thailand, and they were loving life, doing their thing from day to day, not speaking the Thai language, but getting close to people who did not speak any English, and so there just wasn't a whole lot of communication going on. But an older woman who was on the big screen, just her smiling, dancing body, she, for some reason, heard Jesus speaking to her through this team. She wanted to take her life before they came. She was on the verge of committing suicide. They came into her life, and at the end of their little assignment there, this woman was telling people like Jesus like crazy. God is speaking. He's coming to us. And it's surprising. Sometimes it's through people who don't even speak the same language, but God is working. He's revealing himself in beautiful ways. And so you and I are going to keep learning how to listen. Today we do have something in the back there. And if you want to go back and respond to this worship service. I think God's been talking to us through everything that's going on here. Loved the worship this morning for some reason. That was fabulous. Thank you, all of you. God is everywhere, and he's working. And maybe there is a little seed that you are aware of right now. Maybe God is speaking to you through something that you've experienced. As you become quiet with me right now, I want you to ponder what's been going on lately in your life. How has Jesus come to you? It might be the smallest little idea in your mind. It might be a word from a child. It might be a circumstance that unfolded a certain way. It might be something in God's creation that you're remembering right now. But I want you to be mindful of how God has been coming to you. And the idea that we are receiving here from this parable, that God speaks in small ways, like a seed, is the idea that we're going to run with, because we've got seeds in the back, and we've got a little place for you to plant them. And if you want to do that and act in faith and put a seed in the ground, maybe you know what it's referring to. Maybe you're putting it in there as a request to God that he would speak to you. Either way, I'd encourage you, either during the worship or afterward, get back there and put a seed in the ground and do it in faith, remembering what God is already speaking or praying that he will speak into your life in the future. Let's just pray and look to God and listen for what he is stirring. Thank you so much, Lord, for your beautiful presence in this world. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, that you came to us through Jesus. You made it possible for us to know and to see what you are like. Thank you for this beautiful parable that helps us know what it is like to hear you. And so, Lord, we remember that it might be small, but when we hear you, it's going to have the opportunity to grow and it's going to multiply. Lord, if there's something stirring, something that you are speaking to different ones of us, I pray that that will fan into flame and that you will bless it and cause it to grow, cause it to multiply. We give thanks to you for your goodness, for your love, for your presence with us today. Amen.